do it. Tarryway, Northwest London, Hey-Ear, 1st of May, Dan Johannes and David Hull, a case study in financial halacha.
Good morning. Today we're going to discuss the interesting subject of Heter Iska. We're not going to go through all the details of Heter Iska. It's very complicated. There's a tremendous amount of halacha to talk about. I want to talk about a specific circumstance that came up in a din Torah. What happened was as follows. There was a gentleman who needed some money for an investment, so we'll call him Reuven, and he approached Shimon and asked him for a loan. Shimon agreed to give him a loan, but only if he was going to get a certain amount of interest. Now, we know that it's also the person who lent the money.
He wanted ribbis.
No, he won't. Yeah. Now, you're not allowed to take ribbis. It's also an arterial. But they nonetheless went ahead and drew up a loan agreement. The loan was to a company. Reuven owned a company. It was a limited company. But Shimon said, it's not enough for me that I give you the loan to the company. I want your own personal guarantee as well. So Reuven signed on the document as a personal guarantor as well for the loan. The loan was for a lot of money, $250,000, at 7% annual interest. It was only supposed to be short term. In the event, it dragged out for many years, and finally wound up in a din Torah. So the claim was for $250,000 plus interest, which by then had amounted to a very large amount of money. So obviously, min haTorah, you're not allowed to take interest on the loan. There's nothing to talk about. The shaila was, there was an element of Heter Iska here. What actually happened was, very shortly after they drew up the loan document and passed over the money, Shimon actually called up Reuven, and he said to him, I've just realized that we forgot to say that it's Alpi Heter Iska. So Reuven said, it's okay, you don't have to worry, because I have a Heter Iska Klali, which is a general Heter Iska. Now, what is a Heter Iska Klali? This concept was first proposed in Tof Resh Pei Dalet, which is 1924, by Mizriel Eger. Was the Rebbe of Lublin, and he suggested that everybody should write for themselves, draw up for themselves, a Heter Iska Klali, a general Heter Iska. And in that way, if they ever do any business deals afterwards, whether it's an investment or it's a delayed payment for a purchase or anything like that, and there's any mention of interest, it should be understood that it's according to the Heter Iska. So if everybody draws one up, then we're going to be covered. This was the idea.
And the banks stuff like that, or the banks?
The banks are like that, but the banks is very specific. When you in an Israeli bank, when you go in and you open an account, you sign up to the terms, and the terms include Heter Iska. Well, that's less of a problem, because there, in the specific loan that you are making with this bank, you have drawn up a Heter Iska. Whereas we're talking about a case of two parties who didn't mention Heter Iska, but because each one of them has at home this concept of a general Heter Iska, that would cover the problem. That was a suggestion. It was really, he sent out this suggestion to Poskim all over Europe, and he got a lot of replies back, and there was much debate about whether this works or not. The Imre Emes thought it was a good idea and was pro. Reb Meir Arik also agreed with it. However, Reb Aaron Kotler disagreed with it, and Reb Zalman Shver also disagreed with it, so it ended up being quite a machlokas. What exactly is the machlokas? Perhaps we'll come to later, because it's not really the subject I want to focus on today. But that was the idea. So I'll come upon him in here, we have this element of a Heter Iska Klali. So if we're going to say that a general Heter Iska works, we don't have the problem of ribbis. What is curious, though, is that we have a unique issue here, where the claim is being made not against the borrower, because the borrower is a limited company, but the claim is being made against the Orev, against the individual guarantor. He's coming to Reuven and he's saying, there's no money in the company, Well, you gave a personal guarantee, and I want you to pay. So, the subject we're going to discuss today is this concept of Orev, of guarantor, and how it works, and is it going to be applicable in our scenario, in our situation. So we all know there's a concept of Orev. If someone lends someone else some money, they take a guarantor, a third party, he guarantees the loan. Gemara Baba Basra, right towards the end, Kippah Gimel, there's a shaila where exactly we know that it works from. Gemara says that it's learned from a posuk, with Yehuda, he said, Anochi a'arvenu, I'll come an Orev. Gemara has a discussion where we learn it from there, or we learn it from a posuk in Mishlei. But it definitely works. There is such a concept as an Orev. An Orev is Chayev if he's Mechayev himself. And therefore, if you, the person, the loiver, the borrower, defaults on the loan, and you have to go to him first to ask him for the money, he doesn't have any money, then you can go to the Orev, to the guarantor, and he will be obliged to pay if he agreed at the outset that he's going to be Chayev to pay. Now, the Gemara Baba Basra, Kufang Gemara on base, brings in Gemara Ameima says. Ameima says the only reason why an Orev can be Meshabbat himself is if you hold that Asmachta works. Very briefly, and Asmachta is a huge topic in Shulchan Aruch. In fact, the longest siman in Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat is about Asmachta. Asmachta is a concept of someone who makes an obligation upon himself, takes upon himself an obligation, a financial obligation, but it's not absolute, it's conditional. He's not chayv himself absolutely, but he says, if something happens, I will pay you money. There's a machlokes in the Gemara, that's called asmachta. There's a machlokes in the Gemara whether that works or not, whether you machayv yourself or not. Halacha lemaisa, we pass an asmachta lo kanya. Any obligation which is given al tanai is not a valid obligation. It's not kosher. A classic example of that, brought down in all the poskim, is someone who gambles. He says, if this horse wins the race, I'll give you money. And if your horse wins the race, you give me money. So even though they're mechayev themselves to give the money, it's only if something happens. And therefore, it doesn't work. Why not? Because the idea is there's no gemiras das. It means a person who's mechayev himself only if something happens doesn't really mean it. And therefore, it doesn't work. Now, there are circumstances where asmachta does work. Very often it won't work. The only way normally to get around the problem of asmachta is to do a kinyan in a beis din choshuv, which means to say, if you come upon yourself a kinyan by picking up a suda and saying, I'm a chayav myself if something happens, and you do that in a beis din choshuv, then you are obliging yourself
to the last kinyan.
The last asmachta doesn't help in almost all circumstances, and if you do a kinyan beis din choshuv, you don't have to say the last asmachta. So that's what you have to do. Now, nowadays, very many of our contracts have all sorts of conditions in them. So one of the ways to get around that is to do a kinyan in a Bezdin Choshev. If you don't have a Bezdin Choshev to hand, then all you have to do is write in the shtar, in the contract, that I have been mechayev myself with a kinyan in a Bezdin Choshev. That constitutes a hodas bal din. You've admitted that you're mechayev yourself, and that's enough to get around the problem of asmachta. So Ameima says, if you think about it, every orev, every guarantor should not be able to mechayev himself because that's machta. Why? Because it's not an absolute chiyuv, but only if the loiver doesn't pay up, he's going to come to me. So you didn't really mean it. You're hoping that the loiver will actually pay up, and therefore you're hoping not to pay, so you don't really mean it, so it shouldn't work. So Ameima says it's only going to work if we hold that that's machta works. And there is a mandom in the Gemara holds like that. If that's machta loy kanya, then it's not going to work. So Ravashi said, no, that can't be, because we all pass on asmachta lo kanya, and the maisim shebechol yom, says Ravashi, the people are orev, that are guarantors of oath. So how does it work? So Ravashi says, ba'hiyah no, to come hemen le, gomar meshavet nafshei. Ravashi says, do you know how orev works, and how it gets around the problem on asmachta? There is a certain amount of kinyan going on here. What is the kinyan? The guarantor gets a certain amount of hanor, a certain amount of pleasure, from the fact that the lender is actually relying on him. The lender's taking a sum of money, sometimes a very significant sum of money, and giving it to the borrower, but he's not relying on the borrower, not entirely. He's only going to do it if he's got an or if he's got a guarantor. So he's relying on the guarantor's word to give away a large sum of money based on the fact that he's got the word of the guarantor that if the loiber doesn't pay up, he's going to pay. So the guarantor, the orev, gets a certain amount of hanor from that, a certain amount of enjoyment, a certain amount of benefit that someone is willing to risk a large sum of money based on his word. So having received that hanor, in exchange for that, he obliges himself to actually pay the money. And that gets around the problem of asmakta. Now, normally, as we said before, it's not enough to do a kinyan to get around the problem of asmakta. You have to do more than that. You have to do a kinyan in a Beis Din Choshev. You have to actually pick up a sud in a Beis Din Choshev. So Ramban says, in the case of an orev, it's not really a full asmakta. And therefore, it's a sort of light asmakta, and therefore we only need a sort of light kinyan. But we need v'ahi anor to get around that problem. So, if at the time of the loan, I say to somebody, lend him money, don't worry, I guarantee that if he doesn't pay off, I will pay, then we've got around the problem of asmakta, and it works, you can become an orev, and you can become a chayav or something, such a thing. So says the Gemara, and that's the maskonas of Gemara, and that's what we hold the halacha l'maaseh. Based on that, let's take things a stage further. What would happen if someone already lent the money? He lent somebody $100,000, and then he came over to somebody else and he said, you know, I need somebody to guarantee me this loan. Will you agree to be a guarantor on the loan? So now, even if he agrees to be a guarantor on the loan, he's not being mechayev himself. Why not? Because it doesn't mean it. It's only asmachta. What do we say? No. But based on my guarantee, he went and gave the money. That's not correct. He'd already given the money. It was too late. Once he's already given the money, so he's not basing his risk on my word at all. He's basing his risk already, he took the risk. Now he just wants a backup guarantee. And if I'm prepared to give it to him, I have to do a kinyan and a Beis Din Choshev to get around the problem of asmachta. Again, or if we said it's not a proper asmachta, so I don't need a kinyan and a Beis Din Choshev, but I do need some type of kinyan, because there's no concept of ba'ahi anor that I get the benefit from the fact that he relied on me. So the Shulchan Aruch says, someone who wants to agree to become an orev b'shas matan mos, at the time that the halvor is given, all he has to do is say it, doesn't need a kinyan, and that's enough to be mechayevim. There's no problem of asmachto, because we have the element of ba'ahi anor, the benefit he gets from the person risking his money by giving it out based on his word. However, if he wants to become an orev la'acha matan mos, afterwards, it's not going to work unless he actually does a kinyan, because there's no element of ba'ahi anor. There's no element of I'm relying on you because you already gave away the money. And therefore, you cannot become an orev without a kinyan. The Gemara goes on, the Shulchan Aruch goes on to bring various opinions what type of kinyan you need. Halacha lemaisa, the Rambam says that you need a proper kinyan, a kinyan sudah. So the only way to be mechayev yourself as an orev, la'acha matamos, is with a kinyan sudah. So again, to be mechayev yourself an orev before he's actually given the halvor, that works without any kinyan whatsoever, just by saying it and he relying on you. Whereas la'acha matamos, after he's already given the loan, if you want to enter into an obligation of Arabs, you have to actually do a kinyan, and then it works, then you mechayev yourself, the loiber doesn't pay up, you have to pay. Based on that, says the Shach, if a Jew lends money to a Goy with ribbis, lends him $100,000 and says, we make $105,000. He wants to take an orev, he wants to take a guarantor. Now, to be a guarantor on a loan from a Goy with ribbis is itself a problem, because every guarantor is a type of loiver, and therefore it's in effect a contract between the Jew and the other Jew, which involves ribbis. So that's actually forbidden. But says the Shulchan Aruch, you can actually be a guarantor only on the ribbis. The Goy says he's going to pay back the keren, and another Jew enters into an aravus just on the ribbis, and that's okay. Says the Shach, but you're going to have to do a kinyan to become an orev on that, even if you're an orev at the time of the loan. Why? Because if he gives the Goy a loan of $100,000, with a ribbis of an extra $5,000, he's going to have to pay back at a later day. At what stage does the Goy become chayv the extra $5,000? Only when the time has passed. After a month, he has to pay $5,000. So at the time, the malveh has risked, given away, based on the word of the orev, $100,000, but not $105,000. He's risked his keren based on the word of the orev, but he hasn't risked the ribbis because he doesn't actually own the ribbis. He's not actually even owed the ribbis until a later stage. So that, in effect, if you want to become an orev only on the ribbis, it's la'orev La'acha matamos, the same idea. He's not, you're entering into an arvus at a stage where the person is not actually risking that money right now. He's going to risk it at a later date, but right now he's not. And therefore, in order to be an orev on the ribis, which a goy owes you, you have to actually do a kish. Just like if you want to be an orev la'acha matamos, because the person, the only way that an orev works without a kinyan is because bahiyah no, that you're giving away your money and risking it, that the lover might not pay, you're relying on the orev, that's enough to make the orev mechayev himself. But if you do it after the loan has been given, or if you're not actually giving away the ribis, because the ribis is only going to come at a later stage, so then there is no reliance on the orev, so there's no bahiyah no, therefore it's not going to work without a kinyan.
You got the arvus before the loan.
Sorry?
You got the arvus
on
the before
the loan. Yeah, but you're not making yourself an arvus on the loan in that case. You're making yourself an arvus only on the ribs.
On the 5,000.
Yeah.
The 5,000 is going to be a loan.
Yes, but there's no actual risk. I've never actually given away that 5,000 because I never had it. Never had that $5,000. My $100,000, which I give away as a loan now, I'm risking that on the word of the arvus. The 5,000 I don't own. I'm going to ask the goy to be mechayev himself, but I never actually risked that money. I never gave it away because I never had it.
Yeah, but your arvus has come before the 5,000.
Doesn't matter, because even though you're right, it's before the matamos, but the sfora of the lacha matamos applies. Because the point of the lacha matamos is, I'm not risking my money on his word. The 5,000 I'm not risking because I never owned that 5,000. It's going to be owed to me later, but I never owned it, so I'm not risking actually anything. So says the Shakan Yerodeh. Based on that, take a stage further, we now have the concept of Iska. Now Iska, we're going to explain clearly, Iska that the Gemara talks about and the Shulchan Aruch talks about is not the same thing as a Heter Iska that we're talking about. I'll explain in a moment or two what the difference is. But the Iska case of the Gemara is, or Shulchan Aruch's case is, when a person gives money to somebody else, an investment, they want to avoid any problems with ribis, so they call it Chatzi Nil V'Chatzi Pikotin. I give over $100,000 to somebody else, half is a loan, half is my money, which he's looking after and investing on my behalf. Now, what's the effect of that? If I make a profit, half belongs to me, because half of the money is my money, which he's investing on my behalf. The other half of the profit belongs to him, because he borrowed the money. He'll owe me back the other $50,000, but if he makes a profit, that's his money. Conversely, the same thing would happen if there was a loss. Half of the loss I have to take, because half the money is my money. The other half of the loss he has to take because he borrowed $50,000. Whether he makes a profit or a loss of his $50,000 has nothing to do with me. He's got to give me back the $50,000. That's the Iska the Gemara talks about. Says the Shach, if you take a orev on the profits of the Iska, if I give him $100,000, I say, make money for me and for you, and I want an orev on the profits of the Iska, then you cannot, it's not going to work without doing a kinyan. Why? Because again, I'm giving him $50,000 to look after. I'm giving him a loan of $50,000, that's one thing. But I'm also giving him $50,000 of my money to look after, to invest on my behalf, and to make a profit. But I haven't got that profit at the moment, it doesn't exist. So I'm not actually giving away more than $50,000 of pikkudin. But if I want someone to be an orev on any profit it's going to make, it's not going to work without a kinyan, because there's no bahiyah law. Because just like by the rivers of the goy, which doesn't exist, I never actually gave it away. Al smach the orev, there's no bahiyah law. So too, the same thing's going to work by the profits of the pikkudin of an iska. So says the Shach. Comes on the ktesis in Kuf Kaptes, says, I don't agree. There's a big difference between the two cases. In the case of the ribis of a goy, I never actually owned that money. I had $100,000, I gave it to the goy, he's going to be behind me $5,000. But I didn't actually give away that $5,000 at any stage because I never owned it. In the case of the profits of an iska, it's my $50,000 in that person's hand. Once it goes up, it makes a profit, whose money is that? That's my money. It's not money which is now owed to me by the goy, which I never actually had. It's actually my money, and I'm leaving it with him to look after. So at that stage, I'm leaving it with him, relying on Orev. So in this case, like you said, that would be a case of Orev lifnei matamos. In the case of Avot, the goy, I never owned that money. He's going to owe me the money at a later stage. But I never owned that money. I never actually risked that giving away anything. But in this case, since the money which I'm giving to the person looking after it is actually my money, once it makes a profit, it now belongs to me. If I leave it with him to look after it, based on the reliance of the Orev, it is an Orev lifnei matamos, and I wouldn't need a kinyan, so it's a success. So the Sivs HaMishpot seems to disagree. The Kassis himself in Meshavim and Nesivos pointed out that the Nesivos had already agreed to the same Sforah earlier on in Kashim Mishpat. The Nesivos comes along afterwards and he says, makes a chilek, sometimes he agrees it would work and sometimes he agrees it wouldn't work. Now let's talk briefly about what our Heter Iskar is that we do nowadays, and we'll see if it's comparable. The way we work nowadays with Heter Iskar is like this. It's a concept which is not mentioned anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch. The first mention of it is a possibility that the Trumas Hadeshen raises of this type of arrangement. The Taz discusses it, and the later poskim bring it into effect very much. The way it works is like this. Someone comes over to me and says to me, will you invest with me $100,000? Lend me $100,000. I say, well, I'm only willing to do that if I get interest of 7%. So he says, well, I can't give you interest. It's awesome. It's awesome in Antwerp. So what do we do? So I say to him, you know what? I'll invest with you the money. Half is a loan and half is a... It starts off like the Gemara. Half is a loan and half is a bekon. My money and your money, you give me back half whatever happens. The other half, if it makes a profit, I keep it. If it goes down, I take the loss. But I want to be a little bit more guaranteed on that loss. I want to make sure that I don't lose. I can't make sure I don't lose. If I make sure I don't lose, I make an absolute guarantee that I get back all my money under all circumstances. That is in effect a loan. And if it's a loan, I can't take ribbons. I can't take interest. So what we do is like this. We say, I'm giving you $100,000. $50,000 is a loan. Do it. And if you want, make sure I get back that money. The other $50,000 is my money. I want you to invest it on my behalf. But we've agreed between the two of us that if you come along and say that it's lost money, my 50,000, we've agreed that I'm not going to believe you, you're not going to be believed unless you make a shvur. A shvur, unless you swear an oath, holding a sacred Torah, whatever it is, that has gone down in value. Similarly, you're not going to be believed to say that it didn't make a profit either. You're not going to be believed to say it made a loss, and you're not going to be believed to say it didn't make a profit unless you make a shvur. Now, you have the option, if you don't want to make a shvur, and most people don't want to make a shvur, even it's ala emes, even if it's the truth, because it's the problem is shvur chamor, we don't even make, even if it's emes. So, in lieu of your shvur, I'm willing to accept a payment of 5% or 7% or whatever it is. That's the agreement between the two of us. Now what happens? We come along. After a month or a year or whenever the loan is up, and I say to him, where's my money? So he says, 50,000, he gives me back straight away, that's the money. I said, what about the other 50,000, my money, did it make a profit? He said, it didn't make a profit, or it made a loss, whatever it is. So I said, or make a shvur. He said, I don't want to make a shvur. So in lieu of the shvur, I'm going to pay you 5% or 7%. So what happens? In effect, I'm more or less guaranteed on my money, because I'm going to get back the money of the loan, and as far as the money of my investment is concerned, he's not going to make a shvur. And he's going to have to pay me money instead. There's no problem with ribis, because he's not paying me interest on a loan. He's paying me to get out of making a shvur on my money, which isn't a loan, which is a pikun. That is the way that the hetis works. Sounds like a bit of a drain. It is a bit of a drain, according to me. But nonetheless, the poskim accepted it as a legitimate way of doing business. Of course, the big dafkim in it is there is an element of risk, because if the person comes along and says, I want to make a shvur, I'm not going to pay to make his pashas on the shvur, I'm not going to pay the 5% or the 7%, I'm going to make a shvur, then we're going to have to let him. And even though nowadays, usually in Beis Din, we don't impose shvurs on people, we make a payment instead of the shvur. In this case, if he wants to make a shvur, we're going to have to let him make a shvur. Because if we don't do that, then the whole thing is a drain which doesn't work. It's in this proper route.
Especially if he jumps
on the beach. No, but even without that, if he wants to insist on making shvur, they had to risk his grace. There is an element of risk. If there would be no element of risk to the person who's giving the money, then in effect it's alvon. If it's alvon, it's ribis. And if it's ribis, it's also. So the way to get around the ribis is to say, no, he's only paying in lieu of the shvur, but technically he could make the shvur. In almost all cases, he doesn't make the shvur, and he pays the money instead. But it's not ribis, he's paying ribis to get out of the shvur. That's how a heter iskar
is. Always kind of the 50% milver.
Huh? Yes. Yeah. Now, you could set up the heter iskar where there's no element of milver at all. It's kula pikon. And then he'll be, and then I can get my profit on the whole pikon. Whereas this way of setting it up, that's the original way that they set up heter milver, heter pikon. Fine. Okay. So now let's look about.
What happens if he's lost it? What happens if he's lost the $50,000, which was the loan?
Well, that he always has to pay back.
So then you have to make sure.
No, he doesn't make sure. That is a loan. It doesn't matter. If I lend you money, I don't care if you lost it or you didn't lose it, yeah. You owe me the money. There's no requirement for a shvur. Yeah. It's not going to help me to make a shvur. I believe you lost it, but it's your money. You owe me the money. You borrowed the money, you can do with it whatever you like. I don't care. It's not going to help you to make a shvur to tell me you lost it.
So
You borrowed money, do whatever you want. Just make sure you pay it back. So there's no problem. I'm going to get back for sure.
The Hesse is good, which... The Ardas uses, I think, is
Kulpikon. There are various different methods of doing it. So I'm going to the whole concept of Hete Iske. So now let's briefly touch upon Hete Iske Klolli. What's the problem with Hete Iske Klolli? Hete Iske Klolli is that we both write at some stage in our lives a document saying whenever we do any loan whatsoever, we mention Ribis, you should know that it works because we mean really Hete Iske. So the debate here is, does that really work? If someone says, if I ever say in the future, I'm taking ribis, I really mean Hete Iske. And then you come along at a later stage, and you make a loan with ribis, do we say, well, you meant the Hete Iske, which you talked about a few years ago, that's what you meant, or not? Particularly if only one of them, the malva or the lova, had a Hete Iske klali, and the other one didn't. Can we say that one of them said it was a Hete, he meant al pi Hete Iske, so that was really the arrangement. We talked about a loan with ribis. But since the Malva was thinking about a Hete Iske, so the Lover agreed to that even though he didn't know about it, and he hadn't written his own Hete Iske Klali. It would be very strange. The other way around would also be strange. Only the Lover wrote a Hete Iske, and the Malva, so Malva would come along after and say, excuse me, we didn't mention Hete Iske. I don't have a Hete Iske Klali. I lent you money and I wanted 5% interest. You're telling me now you can make a shvua and get out of paying because you really meant the Hete Iske. There's no such thing. So, again, some poskim hold, it doesn't work at all, this Hete Iske Klali. Those who do, most of the poskim who do say that it only works if both of them have their own independent Hete Iske, but if only one of them wrote that Hete Iske Klali, it's not going to work anyway. Now let's come to our case of the Oriv on the Hete Iske. Nochama. In order to be Mechayev and Oriv, there's always an element of Asmachta, because you're not being Mechayev yourself absolutely. You only be Mechayev yourself if the Leiva doesn't pay out, and you're hoping that he will pay out. And therefore, there's an element of Asmachta, there's no Gemara Stas, it's not going to work. How does it work, says the Gemara? By Hiyano, at the time, if long as you agree to be an Oriv, at the time he gives out the money, and when he gives away that money, he's giving it on the promise that you will pay, he's trusting you that you will pay in the event that the Lover doesn't pay out, then there's Bahiyano, you get that Hano, so you're Machayev yourself tomorrow. Then. However, if you want to come on and be an Oriv after the loan has taken place, it's not going to work, right? Because he's not relying on you, he's already given away the money, so there's no reliance. Similarly, we said ribis, if you want to be an Oriv only on the ribis of a loan from a goy, there's no reliance either, because you only gave away the keren. You never actually owned that ribis. What about profits made from an iska that the Ksos talks about? There, the Ksos both say, you could be an Oriv even without a kinyan. Why? Because once the profit is made, it's your profit, because the pikon part is your money and not a loan. And therefore, if you leave it by him, again, there's a reliance at that stage, and therefore you can be an Oriv without a kinyan. But if you think about it, the payment made on a Hete Iske that we're talking about that we do nowadays is actually never money that you own. It's not money which is made a profit from your pikon. He's paying money now in order to get out of the Chiyuv Shavua. That's never money which you owned, which you gave away on the reliance of the Oriv. If that's the case, it's not going to work without a kinyan. You cannot become an Oriv without a kinyan. The only way you can become an Oriv without a kinyan is if there's a reliance at the time that you agreed to be an Oriv. If you'd already given away the money, it's not going to work without a kinyan. If there's a ribis from a goy, it's not going to work without a kinyan. It only works with a regular iska, as we said, because once the profit is made, it's your profit, which you're leaving with him. But when it comes to a het iska, the payment that he's making is in lieu of a shvur, so he should not have to make a shvur to say that there was no profit or that there was a loss. That money, that 5% or 7%, whatever it is, was never money that was owned by the malva, so he never gave it away on reliance, and therefore the Oriv is not going to be mechayev himself without a kinyan. Bottom line, what comes out of all of this? In order to become an Oriv, if you ever lend someone money and you want to take a guarantor, in order to become an Oriv, the way you have to do it is, if he's an Oriv beforehand, before you've given out the money, he doesn't have to do it any more than say that he's an Oriv, or as long as he's got two witnesses and he can't deny it afterwards, you're covered. If you want him to become an Oriv, after you've already given away the money, lent the money, then he has to do a kinyan. There has to be dafka kinyan, says the Rambam, nothing else. Signing on a piece of paper is not going to be good enough.
Why is there not a kinyan?
Sorry? There's no anor, because you're not relying on him, because you gave away the money already. So you can't say, right here, no, I'm relying on you, you're not relying on me, you gave the money yesterday.
Why is it a signature?
Sorry?
Why is it looking for an Oriv?
No, he wants an additional guarantee. So I said, me. So did he rely on me at all? No, he didn't. He'd like an extra guarantee, but he didn't actually give away anything. I can't say I'm willing to be Mechayim myself. Well, yeah, no, that he was willing to what? To ask me to have an origin. Thank you very much.
Why isn't the signature Kenyan?
So because of there's an element of asmach. The Rambam says in order to rectify asmach, you need a kinyan. Normally you need a kinyan investing for.
Why isn't the signature?
In the case of Arvus, since it's not a proper asmach, then you need a kinyan. But not a signature. Not a signature, not a star, none of that's going to help the
actual.
Because there's a signature is not enough to
if they both agree that the signature.
It doesn't matter, it's not a question of agreeing. Even if he agrees it's in about fair, he agrees on the signature, it's not a question of denial. It's a question of, is a kinyan to take away the problem on Masmakta, to show there's a gemilus status. And the only way to do that is with a kinyan sutra. So this is a Rambam. Now I'm showing him as they got like that, but he's going to say kinyan at the Rambam. The Shulchanov brings that down as a there. In order to become an Oriv on a regular Iskra, which the Gemara talks about, according to Nachman Ruchur, you don't need a kinyan, because once the prophet comes into being, it belongs to you, so it affects your Oriv if they matter most. But if you want to become an Oriv on a Heta Iskra nowadays, if you ever lend money with a Heta Iskra and you want to take an Oriv, you better make sure that he does a kinyan, even if he's an Oriv at the time of the loan. It's not going to help you, because the money that he's paying is in Dmei's Pashas on the Shavuot. If it's in Dmei's Pashas on the Shavuot, there was never money which you gave away, which the Oriv could say, on the basis of you giving it away, you relied on my word, and therefore this Bahi Anon, I'm going to find myself. And therefore you're going to have to do a kinyan. One final point in our particular case, if you think about it, it could be that in our particular case, there's no problem of Oriv in the first place. Why not? Because the loan was given to a limited company. But the limited company was actually owned by Reuven. Shimon, the lender, says, it's not enough for me that you have that I'm lending money to your company. I want your own personal guarantee. So we're looking at it, till this point, as a loan to the company, with a guarantee from the Oriv. If I come to the Oriv afterwards, and I say there was a loan with the Heta Iskra, and you're the Oriv can say, I didn't do a kinyan. And therefore, it's true, I'm not denying what happened. I didn't do a kinyan, so there's an element of asmachta, because the payment that he paid with the Heta Iskra is only in order to get rid of the shavuot. There's no reliance. If there's no reliance, then I'm not chayv.
Not chayv in interest.
Yeah. It's not chayv. Yeah. However, if you think about it, it's very possible he's not Oriv at all. He is actually the loiver. Why? Because normally I lend, there's two different people. I lend the money to one person, I take someone else as an Oriv. In this case, I'm lending the money to a company which belongs to him. It's really him. He's doing it through a company. What's that? What does a company mean? A company means there's limited liability. But in this case, I'm saying to him, I don't accept limited liability. I want you to give a personal loan. So in effect, it's the same person. I'm lending him money through the company, and I'm asking him for a personal guarantee. So he's not a third-party Oriv. He is the same person. He's not an Oriv in this case, he's a loiver. If he's the loiver, then there's no element of a smachta. There's no, if he, the loiver, doesn't pay, I'm going to have to pay. Either way, you're going to have to pay, whether it's through your company or through your personal guarantee. In that case, you're an Oriv, and you're not you're a loiver, and you're not an Oriv, and therefore we would avoid the whole problem of a smachta. So even if he didn't do a kinyan, in our particular case, the Oriv is going to have to pay. If we can assume that the Heta Iskra Klali works up here halacha, and they had a Heta Iskra, he would have to pay the whole Karen and the Dmei Iskra the extra percentage that they agreed to pay.